Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 1 through 13, looking at what happened. And then, God willing, next time, we'll look at Peter's explanation and the powerful message that he brought. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, this is God's word. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what appeared to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.' Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.'" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I am grateful that I know this congregation well enough to know that you are not terrified by the subject of Pentecost. There are some churches where people would be squirming right now just because we are reading this portion of the Bible. Anything associated with Pentecost conjures up images of Pentecostalism. And Pentecostalism is something we've been warned to stay away from. And therefore, we want to be sure that no one confuses who we are or what we do with who they are and what they do. And therefore, be careful, Pastor. I have seen some horrible things attributed to the work of God. And please do not think that whatever anybody says or does, as long as they say it was the Holy Spirit, that means it must have been. But do be careful, brothers and sisters. Do be careful. Because the one time Jesus spoke of a sin being unpardonable, it had to do with the fact that people were attributing what he did to the devil. Okay? Just so you know. Okay, Pastor, I feel whenever anybody tries to prepare me for what they're going to say and they go to great lengths, I don't get more comfortable. I get less comfortable. Okay. Well, I want you to understand, we're only looking at these 13 verses this morning. But in these 13 verses, we have God's word. And it's God's word to us. Don't be afraid of it. Ask God to do whatever he wants in your life. Our job is not to make things happen. Our job is to yield to the God who is at work right now. Jesus rose from the dead, and he's still alive, and he is still moving by his Spirit in people's lives. Now, the context of this passage, you had a group of believers that were all together in one place. In the old King James, it says they were all in one accord. I like that. The old Geneva Bible says that too. The more modern translations just say they were all together. I went and looked at it in the Greek, which I'm not a Greek scholar by any stretch. I really have to, I can't just open the New Testament in Greek and read it like some people I know. But I do know how to use the tools. And apparently, what we translate in the modern translations as they were together in one place is because in the Greek, it's two different ways of saying together, okay? It's like he says, they were together, okay? And so the old English translations regarded that as being not only were they physically together, but they were in unity. Modern translations say, no, it just means in one place. Well, I'll tell you, if you look at what happened before this and the fact that they were all still together, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that they had unity, okay? And they were united not in the joy of being united. They were united in obedience to God's word. The reason that they were where they were is because Jesus had said, stay there. They were doing what God had told them. And while they were there waiting for the gift of the Spirit, they had chosen Matthias. Why? Because God's word says so. So, united in obedience. But there's another part of the context of what happens here. There were many, many other people in the city. It says so. We'll see that the people who were impacted by these events were not just the 120 that were in the upper room. There were also people all around where they were staying, and they were there to worship and to celebrate Shavuot, which was the Festival of Weeks. It was exactly 7 weeks after Passover, Passover being when the Jews were set free from slavery. And it also commemorated the anniversary of the day that God gave the Ten Commandments to the Jews at Mount Sinai. God gave the law, and now God is giving the Spirit. And it was also a celebration of the wheat harvest. So there was a festival going on, and there were people there who were not followers of Jesus. They did not know that he was the Messiah. They had come from all over to Jerusalem in order to celebrate the Feast of Weeks and to celebrate this day of Pentecost. But on the day of Pentecost, God pours out his Spirit. That which they had been waiting for, not knowing exactly when it was going to happen, suddenly came. And as I was praying through this, the word suddenly jumped out at me because it reminds me of something else that's going to happen suddenly. Anything come to mind? We are longing for the blessed hope, the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has promised that he's going to come again. And guess what? He will. Suddenly. And you and I are told we need to be prepared. Now, that which they'd waited for came suddenly, but it didn't come in a way that they could have anticipated. Okay? They were together, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. It wasn't gentle. We like to think of the Holy Spirit as a gentleman. He will never force you to do anything that you don't want to do. I've heard that more than a dozen times over the years from various people who just want to reassure folks, you don't have to be afraid of God. Okay? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He's always very gentle. Actually, no, that's false advertising. God is not always gentle. And sometimes he does force you to do things you didn't want to do. Well, now in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That's true. Context matters. But I want you to understand something. Not forcing somebody to do what they didn't want to do, how does that square with Paul on his way to round up more Christians to persecute, getting knocked off his donkey and blinded by a bright light and told that he's supposed to follow Jesus? That wasn't exactly what Paul had in mind. God powerfully intervened and turned him around, and he was blind for days until God sent Ananias to pray for him and heal him and give him further instruction about what he was to do. Now, I just don't like to think of God in those terms. Well, quit being an idolater and start having your mind renewed by God's word. Well, I think sometimes God is very gentle. Of course he is. Think about the fact that Almighty God takes note when a sparrow falls. Almighty God knows how many hairs are on top of your head. And when he showed us exactly what he's like, said, "Let the little children come to me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven." Oh, he is gentle. He is gentle. But not always. Not always.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
In this case, the sound of a violent wind, not just a strong wind, it was a violent wind. It was a scary wind. And the appearance of fire, okay? If you were there in the room when this sound fills the house, that would be scary. Do you think that suddenly seeing a bunch of fire overhead would calm you down? Or was this something that was overwhelming? It was overwhelming by design. These folks had been praying for the Spirit to come, and when the Spirit came, it was not what they expected. They didn't know what to expect. But surely not this, because this had never happened before. And so when this happened, it was overwhelming. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. The word there is glossa, it's languages. So this is not like the tongues of fire overhead. Actually, it's the same word. That's why they have to keep translating it as tongues of fire. It appeared like tongues of fire overhead. And they began to speak in other tongues. They'd never done that before. This was a new thing. So I don't think we ought to tell anybody about this. Let's just kind of keep this to ourselves, because if we have to try and explain this to other people, this is going to be really, you know, I mean, let's just don't go there. They wouldn't understand. Well, they couldn't keep it to themselves. The whole purpose of this was that they wouldn't keep it to themselves. People outside the house, people who weren't part of their group, heard this sound, and when they came to find out what's going on, they heard the 120 speaking in their own mother tongue, in their languages, and they were completely bewildered, it says. Utterly amazed, saying, what is going on? We hear them speaking the language where we grew up. Now, these people were multilingual, okay? I mean, Greek was the common language that everybody used for business and so forth. A lot of legal documents because of the Roman government, which was very oppressive. A lot of legal documents were often in Latin. But Greek was the language everybody spoke. But that wasn't their mother tongue. What did they hear? They said, we hear them giving praise to God. They were praising and speaking of the wonders of God, verse 11, but in our own languages. Remember the Tower of Babel? Everybody used to speak the same language. Why? They were all descendants of Noah. And everybody spoke, and instead of doing what God had said they were supposed to do, they decided they wanted to stay together and build a means by which they could put themselves on the same level with God. Okay? It was a replay of Satan's rebellion. And so they set out to do this thing, and God says, I mean, I love the humor in that passage in the Old Testament. It says, God says, we better go down there and see what they're up to. Okay? See, to them, they're looking up and they're saying, look at this thing we're building. And God's like, what is that? God said, let's break this thing up. And he did it by scattering them so that they couldn't talk to each other intelligibly. They couldn't be understood. And yet God comes along here and he says, I'm going to make it so that people from all kinds of backgrounds can hear and understand how great I am. He made it so that the people spoke in a way that others could understand the awesomeness of God. But these folks were astounded because they'd never encountered anything like that. So they came, and you get two basic responses. Some have honest questions. What is going on here? We don't understand. And they were asking among themselves, do you understand? I mean, do you hear your native language? Well, these people aren't from where we're from. How do they do this? What is happening? What was that loud sound? And now, why are we hearing our languages being spoken by people who are not from the places we are? And there was another response besides the honest questions. And that was the mockers. I'll just tell you, when God works, when God does something supernatural, there will always be people who are curious, and there will always be people who don't want to know the truth. And it's easier for them just to make fun than it is for them to ask honest questions and try and learn. They don't want to know. They don't want to know. The world hasn't changed. Because the human heart hasn't changed. The unregenerate human heart is still hostile toward God. And as a result, when the truth comes along, people are like, no, like a little child, refusing to face facts, refusing to embrace the truth, to be corrected by the truth, simply wanting to mock the truth. Say, I think we're living in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. We are, as were our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents and our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. If you look at God's Word, you find that from generation to generation to generation, the broad roads leading to destruction. Okay? It's not like, boy, that road to destruction is really broadened. No, it's always been broad. We're just seeing a bunch more movement in the far lanes. Okay? But the fact of the matter is it's always been headed in the wrong direction. Jesus said the road that leads to life is narrow and few find it. So don't be surprised. Don't be distressed. Don't be wondering what in the world is going on. What's going on is what's always gone on. Well, so is there any hope? Yes, that's what this is about. There is hope. Jesus is still calling people and saying, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's still calling people. He's still inviting people, and people are still coming. Okay, well, are you going to talk about the tongues thing anymore? It seems like you've been avoiding that. I'm just going to tell you what the Scripture says. The Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak in the languages of people who needed to hear it. That's what happened. So nowadays, if somebody says they speak in tongues but nobody's able to say what it means, then that's not really tongues. No. Read the rest of the Bible and you'll find that Paul says if there's no interpretation, just be quiet and let it be between you and God. So you think there is still a validity today for tongues? Yes. So you think all these people who do that stuff, that's God? No. So you think there is that which is real, and there's also that which isn't real? Yes. But how do you know the difference? Well, that's called discernment of spirits. And God would have you focus on whether what you're doing is real, not trying to go around checking everybody else to see whether or not what they're doing is real. Because the Corinthians had genuine gifts from God that were being misunderstood and misused. And Paul didn't tell the Corinthians, oh, what you have is not the real thing. What he says is, you're not using this correctly. Here are the guidelines for how you're to use those gifts when you come together to worship. If we would simply do what God's Word says, 90% of the stuff that is confusing would go away. Just do what He says.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.